Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you provide a foundation for us to build our lives upon. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us life in the word. Lord, let it be revelation to us today as we study together on your pattern for wealth creation. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Last week, I shared a quote from Apostle Leon from our anniversary service. And it is, there is a great wealth that God wants to release to his church, but we are going to have to deal with our mess by giving our very best, by passing the test, and God will give us his rest by releasing his very best. Hallelujah. And so we thank God that he does have provision for us. And everything that we go through in this life, God has already set aside provision for. You got to get this picture in your mind. Regardless of what you're going through, whether it is a college education or if it is problems with the children or it is problems with finances or a repair that needs to be done in your house, God knows all of those details, and whatever is going on, God has already set aside provision for us because he takes care of all of our needs, and he knows what you have need of. Tell your neighbor he knows what you got need of. And God sets aside provision for us. He planned for us. Tell your neighbor God's got a plan for you. So if you're feeling stuck today, God wants to oil you with his Holy Spirit and get you unstuck today. Amen? Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for that. In Deuteronomy 8:18-19, it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." God has a plan for us, but we need to walk in his ways. Okay, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He has some marching orders for you. Would you just open up your heart today and receive marching orders from the Lord? The Holy Spirit speaks to people in this place. As we gather together, Holy Spirit is here speaking to you individually what you need to know. Amen? He's got the plan. And so, Lord, we open up our hearts to hear our marching order. Some of you sitting here today are wondering, what is the next step? There feels like there's blockages in front of you. Not sure what to do. Well, Father, we thank you that you are the way maker and you make the crooked path straight. So remove those obstacles, whether it is the mind limiting, because most of the time it is our own mind limiting the power of God. We set God up in a box. We have limiting beliefs and we function inside those beliefs. But God wants to break down those barriers, remove the obstacles. And if somebody else is in your way, I believe Prophetess Vanessa decreed it this morning that God is going to remove that obstacle. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We receive that, Lord, that you make a way for us where there seems to be no way. So we taught last week on Abraham's pattern of wealth creation. And I shared a quote from Lance Wallno, which says, "When you step into alignment with your God-given purpose, the universe itself conspires to create a pathway for your future that is not just random or being self-created, but it is unfolding because it is God-ordained." So when we position ourselves in that place of fulfilling God's purpose for our lives, the universe actually aligns with that God-given purpose, and situations and appointments and divine connections just begin to unfold for us. We just fall into it. Hallelujah. So we talked last week about Abraham's streams of income, and we talked about Job's streams of income. And today we are going to talk about how to become positioned for multiple streams of income. So number one is seek God and not things. The Word of God makes it clear that we are to seek God. We're not supposed to seek stuff. Material items. Just got to have it. So we're going to pray and ask God to give it to us. Let's seek God first. And let's see what the scripture says. Matthew 6:33. Would you read it with me, please? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Proverbs 8:10. Receive, would you read it with me? Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So you see, God's putting a high priority on seeking his kingdom first. When we seek the kingdom of God first, we're seeking what the king is saying about the situation. We're not calling our friends. We're not discussing it with 20 people. But we're taking it to the Lord in prayer. And we may seek counsel, but you know, you got to seek godly counsel. I'm amazed at how many people will seek financial help and teaching from people who are so far in debt, they can't even keep their head out of water. If you want some good financial counseling, then talk to someone who has lived it and applied the principles to their life, or the people that go to other people because they want to divorce their spouse, that have been divorced 4 or 5 times. You know, if you want to know about marriage and how to work out a relationship, then talk to someone who has stuck and stayed in a relationship and actually knows what a covenant is. Is that true? Come on. Seek first God and receive instruction from him. Instruction from God is more important than silver. And knowledge from the Lord is better than choice gold. See, we think that if we just had more money, we would just be happy. It'd be nice. Yeah, I agree with you, Shirley. It'd be nice. But the Lord says that whatever we have need of, he will supply. 2 Chronicles, would you read it with me? And as long as he, Uzziah, sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. There are some keys here on how to align ourselves and position us to receive financial blessing, receive provision, wisdom, and revelation from the Lord. Okay, let's go on. The next thing, step two, is live uprightly. God promised the righteous man and woman would be blessed. Psalm 112:3 says, would you read it with me? Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Psalm 84:11, read with me. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. So, first, seek God and not things. Second, live uprightly. Third, obey God. God will always fulfill his part of the covenant when we do our part. Deuteronomy 28:2, let's read it together. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And let's read Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And another one I thought of was in Malachi, chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, and I'll read that to you. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. And you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." Positioning ourselves for the blessing of God, bringing our tithe into the storehouse. Tithe is simply 10% of what your income is, 10% of the increase, and then God blesses and multiplies the rest. Hallelujah. And God said we can test him in this. You can test the Lord in this. Number 4 is be diligent. God's given each of us gifts and abilities to be successful, and we must develop our acquired skills. The word said the Lord would bless the work of your hands, but if your hands aren't doing anything, it doesn't matter how much of the blessing is upon you, it won't benefit you or others. So we got to be doing something. God has given all of us gifts and abilities that we can use to create wealth, to establish God's covenant here in the earth. All of us. He didn't forget one of us. But he created each one of us in his image. And he created each one of us to fulfill a part here in the earth. We're all created to solve some kind of problem. And it's problems in different areas. And often your problem that you're called to solve is something that you end up going through yourself. It can also be something that you have such a passion for, a burning passion for. And it can also be something that really makes you angry, that's going on some kind of injustice in our culture. And God wants you to begin to cultivate that and ask him about that. What is it, God, you've called me here to do? Because I want to do it with all of my heart. And when we begin to do what God asks us to do, the whole universe begins to align with us, and God connects us with the people that we need to fulfill what God has asked us to do. It's exciting. God hasn't forgotten any of that. So be diligent. Let's read Proverbs 10:4 together. "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Proverbs 12:11. "He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread." Proverbs 21:5. "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty." And Romans 12:11, "Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." So whatever we do in word or deed, we do it all for the glory of God. And God wants us to have that mindset. Regardless of what your job is, where you punch your clock, when we go, it's for the glory of God. We don't work for man. Come on, we don't work for man. We work for God. We're his representatives here in the earth. God can set you up to get a promotion. God can set you up to have the wisdom that is needed by your company to solve a problem. So that you just begin to move to the top and you are recognized when you go to work with the right attitude. Oh, and the devil will throw things in your way. People will throw things in your way to see if they can trigger you. Does anybody here have triggers? And I'm not talking about, you know, that kind of trigger. Yeah. But we all have triggers, don't we? Yeah. And certain things just set us off. My, my, my. And that's where we have to work on us, right? The only one we can change is our self. And you find out that as you change, you're able to work in that situation a little bit better. And it strengthens us. And when you're not triggered anymore, you know, the devil just kind of gives up and goes on because it's not working now. But then he comes back with something else, doesn't he, usually? To try and get you all stirred up and upset. But serving the Lord, whatever we're doing, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things are added unto us. Number five is develop and exercise your faith in this area. The promises of God are received by faith. Put the word of God into your spirit and develop your faith for the blessing to manifest additional streams of income. Matthew 9:29. Read it with me. What you have believed will be done for you. I think the King James translation says, as your faith is, so be it unto you. Romans 10:17. Let's read it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of God. Amen. So develop and exercise your faith. And often when we exercise our faith, then we're stepping out. Because we know that we know. We can't see it with our natural eyes, but we know that we know. Yes. Yes. Anyone, it's kind of difficult to explain, but we know that we know. Yes. And so we're going to step out by faith because we know when we step, God will meet us there. Yes. And God super abundantly overpowers that situation. We want the power of God to be released, then we have to step out in faith. Number six, ask the Lord to show you what you already have. Many times people are sitting on an idea or a gift or ability that can be converted into streams of income if they just understood how to use what they have. And the story is about Elisha giving counsel to the widow. Let's read together 2 Kings 4:1-7. It says, go sell the oil and pay the debt and live thou and thy children on the rest. And there was a widow that went to Elijah and asked him about the debt that she had. And the wisdom or the revelation Elijah had was go and gather vessels. And so she had children, and she had the children go and gather vessels. And he said, take the oil and pour it into the vessels. And so she did that. She just had one vessel of oil, but she started filling all of these vessels that were in, that the boys had brought to her, the children. And she was asking them, is there another vessel? And the kids said, no, we don't have any more. So obviously the oil was still flowing. And so she set what was left aside, and she went back to Elisha the prophet, and she said, what shall I do now? And he said, take the oil that is in the vessels that the children gathered, and go and sell it and pay your debt. And then save the rest of the oil for you and your children to live on. So that is supernatural provision that God gave to this woman and her children. And it came through believing the revelation that came through the prophet. Well, in the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. And people went to the prophet to receive the revelation. Today, God is speaking to you individually because when Jesus Christ came, he made a way for us to come to the Father and to hear the Father's voice and to have a personal relationship with him. And so everyone sitting here today can hear the voice of the Lord. It's yours. It's yours. Get yourself in a place to hear the voice of the Lord because he wants us to prosper. And he wants us to be in good health. And the scripture tells us in 1 John that that is only going to happen as our soul prospers. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And if we have limiting beliefs in our mind, then we are not going to prosper to the level that God has called us to. Come on. God desires for us to fulfill our destiny. And he will align everything that we need if we will just step into it. You got to step into it. When God gives you a revelation, maybe you're sitting on something right now. I know you're sitting on something. They're called pews. And your blessed assurance, right? But maybe there's an idea that God's given you that could provide streams of income. How many people here actually have more than one stream of income? Would you wave your hand at me? More than one stream of income. See, that's a God thing. That's a God thing. He sets us up to succeed if we'll just follow him. Is there going to be ups and downs? Absolutely. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes. But tell your neighbor, God is bigger than your mistakes. You got to say it louder. Aren't we so glad God is bigger than our mistakes? You know, when we step out, he will meet us there. If we mess up, he will meet us there. God wants to release great wealth to the church, but we have to take care of our mess. And we might make another mess and another mess. But God is bigger than that. So when we make a mess, when we make a mistake, we cause a limiting belief to come into our soul. And we hesitate to try again. So as God reveals those limiting beliefs to you, and I pray in Jesus' name that he does this week, write those down, pray over them, and break the power of that thought from your mind, and ask God to give you a godly belief. It's a process. We have so many limiting beliefs. It's the truth. Because growing up, we heard so many limiting sentences spoken to us. Oh, you can't do that. Well, you can't do that. You know, you have these, kids have these great ideas. They're very grandiose, right? But one of the worst things you can do to your child is say, well, you can't do that. Or, well, that'll never happen. And we all have had those experiences because the reality of where our parents or caregiver were at the time, to them, it did seem impossible. But remember, with God, all things are possible. And God gives us these desires and these ideas from a child on. When I was in third grade, I used to invite friends over and sit them down and get my Bible out and preach to them. I don't even know what I was preaching, but... And I remember taking my Bible to school because my teacher was saying the Lord's Prayer wrong. Pointing out to her. Third grade. And I was a new student. I had moved from Elkhart to South Bend. She probably thought, oh my goodness. But you see the love that you have. Maybe you had a love for horses. A love for animals. God, you know how much money people make from taking care of other people's pets? Think about the things you loved as a child. Or what you've grown into have a passion for. God can give you revelation for how to create streams of wealth with that. So God's plan for the believer is to give you ability to make wealth to establish his covenant here in the earth. And this morning we are honored to have with us a couple that has walked out the very thing that we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. And we met Pastor Chris and Juanita at a Revive meeting and just connected with them. And they happened to visit last Sunday. They're from Middlebury, Indiana area. And we got to talking after church, and Chris was, he was like on the message, you know, and just sharing, God has done these things in my life. And I said, well, would you like to share your testimony with the church next week? Because we love real testimonies of how God has moved in people's lives. Amen? Because, you know, when you give a testimony, the faith rises in the room for God to do it again. Hallelujah. And so this morning, Pastor Chris and Juanita Slaba is going to come and share with us a little bit about their financial journey, the roots of where they came from, and where God has taken them. So let's stand and give them a warm river welcome this morning as they come. Yes. We're so glad they're here. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it. Thanks, Chris. All right. Just make yourself to home.
Good morning, everybody. 3 years ago, I couldn't do this. I could not get in front of anybody and speak like this. And I think that's all because of God and my wife. We've been married for 41 and a half years. We have three children, three boys.
And five grandkids. That's important.
I was raised Amish, okay? And she was raised very, very conservative Mennonite. And if anybody here knows anything about the Amish, it's very much of a pecking order. And we were the lowest of the lowest, the most rejected. I mean, we were made fun of, scorned. At the age of 14 or 15, my first job was catching chickens. And I remember, just one week I worked almost every night catching chickens. And I was honored to bring a paycheck home of $36. Then my second job was sweeping floors in a trailer factory for $2 an hour. I thought I was in hog heaven. I really did. We had to drop out of out of school when I was 16. I finished ninth grade. And then when I was 18, I enlisted in the Navy during Vietnam. I departed two cruises to Vietnam on an aircraft carrier. And then the Navy sent me to a college to get my high school diploma. Not the GED, but a diploma. Then after that, they sent me to electrical school, electronics school, and calibration school. I had a salary of $348 a month, gross, at that time. That was in 1973, and when I was on Oklahoma boot camp leave, I met my wife. And
well, we met, that's true. We met then, but at that point in time, I said, I'd never go out with him. So it was about a year later then when he came home on a leave that we really started dating. So, yeah.
And in the midst of that, I went and bought a brand new Pontiac Grand Prix on $348 a month. They took that out of my check, direct out of my check, to pay me $174 a month. Okay? I had a $52 a month take home, or $52 a paycheck, which is twice a month, take home. When we got married, our first phone bill was $54, and that was due when we got married.
That first check came, I think, about 2 days after, a little bit after we were married. Anyway, a few days after we were married, and it was $52. So yeah, we were living high on the hog. Let me tell you.
I lived in a barracks before we were married. So to cut down, my food and housing was paid for.
Yeah.
But then there's almost a month before they paid for our housing afterwards.
Yeah, we got that allowance. Yeah.
And but we remember saving pennies or counting pennies so we can go out and rent a 13-inch black and white TV that we can watch for the weekend. That's just where we were. I mean, you guys, anybody remember 13-inch black and white TV?
Yeah, a few people, yeah.
And my wife was babysitting, and we were in Tennessee, and you were babysitting at that time. And then we moved to Texas. And then in 1977, I got out of the Navy. And if there's some people here I know that know the attitude that the public had against Vietnam vets when they got out of service. And when I got out of service, if I put down military history at all, I could not get a job. And so I could not pursue electrical field at all, because the only way I could put that on is by putting military history on there. So I ended up working in a plywood plant for 3 years. And then they shut down. Then I got me a job hauling chickens, live chickens. And that lasted about a year, and I started hauling milk from farms on semi-truck. And then the economy just tanked in 1984, literally tanked.
Well, especially, we lived in Oregon at that time, and as the economy hit Oregon very, very hard, because Oregon's big industry was timber. And when the economy went downhill, people quit building houses and that kind of thing. And so it hit Oregon very, very hard. And that got to be a time when you really, literally could not buy a job. I mean, it was very, very hard to find a job. And Chris always being, you know, he started, when he was at Boise Cascade, they ended up closing that mill. They burnt that mill to the ground. So that was the end of that job. Well, then he started, you know, driving truck, and always went, as things got worse, he was always at the bottom of that totem pole. And so when they started laying off people, that's where, you know, he was always one of those first ones to go. And I remember so vividly how, I mean, he literally beat the streets to find a job. He would go out day after day after day to find a job. He was very, very diligent, and he knew he had a family to take care of and a family to support, and he knew that was part of his responsibility, and was very, very diligent in seeking employment. So.
And while we were living in Oregon, we started going to church regularly, And we learned the principles of tithing. And like you said this morning, it's God asks us to test him on this. And that's the only place I know that God asks us to test him on. And we did. We really did. And we noticed that there's weeks that we didn't tithe, that we actually lost more money than what we were giving in tithe. And it was really amazing. But then in 1984, when I lost my job, and looking back today, we can see God's divine hand at work in this, because that's what got us to Indiana. It would not have been his, it was his direction. And then we moved to Indiana. We lived in a duplex for a year. And we forgot about this. And then we found a single wide trailer, 1964. That it measured 11 feet by 48 feet, two-bedroom, single wide trailer on a quarter-acre lot. And there were five of us living in this small trailer. It was cozy. And
wasn't much house to clean, that's for sure.
We had to put a chest of drawers in the closet to make room for the bed. That's how small it was. And when I was
in the only closet that was in the house.
And I got a job driving a truck over the road.
So we back up just a little bit here. You know, when he lost all these jobs, when he lost his job in Oregon, and we really, like he said, you know, we had really learned that principle of tithing and how important that was. And spiritually, we had a long ways to go, and we still have a long ways to go. I am not by any means saying that we've arrived in any stretch of the imagination. But we really learned that principle and how important that is. And even as, you know, when he lost the jobs, we continued to tithe on whatever we had, whether it be unemployment or whatever it was. And we really started to seek God, too, in his direction. And I really feel that that was the move to Indiana. That all played into it. You know, in getting us to move to Indiana, which is where he was from. And but just as we, you know, as we really, when we really stop and think about how he got his job, his first job here, it was over the telephone. It was, you know, a telephone call. So that God was really playing into that part also.
One phone call.
And he made this phone call like on a Monday morning. And he called this guy that he knew here had trucks, and you know, said he says I've driven truck and I need a job. And this guy said, this was on Monday. This guy said, send me your driving record. So we went and got his driving record. We next day aired it back here. On Wednesday, that guy called Chris back and said, as soon as you can get here, you have a job. On Friday, Chris got in the car, headed to Indiana, and the following Monday started working. Yeah, started working for that guy. So, another really cool thing that happened during that time was the kids and I were still in Oregon, and he was back here. Well, obviously, that's not a really good situation, and we needed to get back here also. And, yeah, we at this point had things, you know, had been tough for us. And so I went to the bank. I deeded our house back to the bank. I knew that there wasn't, it just, the way things were, we could have kept that house and tried to sell it. But in that meantime, we needed to continue to make payments on it. And under the circumstances, I knew that wasn't possible. And I knew also, or we knew, in the way the economy was in Oregon, that you could have a house sit on the market for a long time because people just could not afford that. But anyway, to say, I knew that I needed to get the children and I here also so that we could be together as a family again. And that was another situation I just really prayed about and Chris prayed about. And so I deeded our house back to the bank. And I got a U-Haul truck, and we waited until Chris had worked here long enough to send me money to get the truck. And I was going to load our stuff up and come to Indiana. And I had an aunt and uncle out there that said, you're going to go by yourself with three children in this truck, pulling your pickup behind all by yourself. And I said, I have no choice. That's what I have to do. And they said, well, that we don't think that's a good situation. And I said, you know what? I don't feel either that maybe that's the best situation, but that's the alternative that I have. And I said, you know, if I have somebody to go with me to help drive and that kind of thing, then I need to pay their way to get back, and I don't have that kind of money. And they wrote me a check for $200, which I know at this point in time doesn't sound like a lot, but at that point in time it was. And they wrote me a check, and they said, you find somebody to drive with you. You use this to buy their plane ticket to come back home. And I said, but I'm not going to take that because we can't afford to pay it back. And they said, no, we're paying it forward. And he said, when you take this money, you use it to get them a plane ticket, and when you can afford it, pay it forward. And so that was another awesome thing that God done in our life. And, you know, once you really start to seek him, he will do those things for you. So anyway, go ahead.
I drove truck over the road from 84 to 92. But in October of 92, and I would get home on weekends. But a lot of times I'd be out 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and I hated it. And they would send me to the East Coast just about every week. And I at that point, it was kind of a little dark part of our life. We had backslidden tremendously. And one day in October, 92, or 84, or I'm sorry, 92, my dispatcher called me. I had to sit out there. It was on Thursday night until the next Monday on my own time and wait for the next load to come back.
He wasn't happy.
Excuse me. I was furious. I was literally furious. I called my wife up. You guys remember the old payphone booths? I went in that payphone booth and I called my wife and I started screaming at her and I started cussing at her. Finally, I shut up long enough for her to say something. She says, honey, how can you possibly expect God to bless you when you're not grateful for what you got? That's not what I wanted to hear. That's what I needed to hear.
It kind of made him mad, actually.
I slammed that phone down so hard, I'm surprised I didn't tear it off the wall. I went out there and I sat in my truck and I had me the biggest self-pity party you ever seen in your life. Finally, after I cooled down, hours later, I went back and I said, thank you. I apologized. That was a turning point of our life, and I knew then that we started seeking God right there.
Diligently. I mean,
And within a month, I had a different job. I was working with my brother in as an electrician.
Which was what he loved.
I worked for him for a year. And then I got a job in an RV factory. They hired me in as a group leader of the electrical department. That was in 93. And I stayed there as a group leader until 99. And then I was working for KZ Incorporated. And in 99, the owner started building buildings. And he pulled me off the line. Then he had a general contractor that would shell the building in. And then it was my job to get buildings wired and get them ready for production. And we did one a year. And it was a learning process because he expected me to treat that as my own business. And in 2000, how much time have I got? In 2003, since Christmas 2003, we really felt that God's calling us to start a business, to start our own business. And I didn't really feel see how that could, you know, how that would work. But then we saw God's face in this. And we prayed, God, if this is really from you, that you'll make this happen. You'll show us. And we was home on during a shutdown, 2003, Christmas time. And I got a phone call from a contractor that him and I did not see eye to eye at all. I mean, it's one of them people that everybody has a personality conflict with somebody. And we just didn't see eye to eye. And he called me up and said, would you be willing to go wire a building for my customer? And that's doing, and God's answering a prayer that's impossible for us to do. So I went down and I talked to this customer, and the customer's out there working. He had worked on the machine, and he asked me what I was doing there. I said, well, I understand you just had a building built, and you need it wired. He told me point blank, says, that's already taken care of. And I sat there and I watched him a little bit because he was sharpening saw blades. And I said, that was kind of interesting to me. All of a sudden, he was working on a modern machine, and he dropped this cord down into oil on the floor on the ground. It's 480 volts. 480 volts and oil do not mix. He let the smoke out. And then I said, okay. He says, very politely asked him, do you want me to go get my tools and help you fix this? He says, sure, would you? So I went out and I helped him fix it. And I said, this is like on a Wednesday. Yeah, and I needed to get parts. And I said, I'll get you going by Monday. I'll get the parts for it, get you going. And we did. And I was very content with that. And we walked away, and about a week or so later, I was in around the project working, doing my job. And I was feeling sorry for myself. And all of a sudden, I started singing,
Jesus loves me,
and trust me, I can't sing. And the preacher of the church we were going to was working for me and helping me wire his buildings. And he looked at me kind of funny. He said, what is wrong with you? And all of a sudden, I just felt a monkey come off my back. And within 10 minutes, my phone rang. This guy that I went to see by wiring his building called me, says, when are you going to give me a quote to wire this building? As I thought that you said it's already taken care of. Says, the fat lady ain't saying yet. Says, it's not over. Says, give me a quote. I gave him a quote. I met him at a restaurant, handed him the quote. We sat there and talked, and he never even looked at the quote. He says, when are you going to start? That's God. That is God. And a lot of other amazing things happened that God didn't open the doors. He opened the walls and shoved us through.
Yes, amen.
He literally did. And it just... The federal government actually forced me to quit KZ because they were in a labor audit.
Yeah, KZ was having an audit.
And the labor department I asked the owners, can I contract this building to the next building to you as a contract, you know? And he first of all says yes. And 30 seconds later he says no, let's do it like always did. And then later that year when they were going through that audit, I asked him, what are my rules of doing this? And he says, go and talk to the chief financial officer. Because usually we didn't know what the guidelines were as far as federal laws. And the chief financial officer, we're just brainstorming. And finally says, why don't I just contract that to you? Let me check with the owner, see if that's okay. And the owner says, only if I come back to work for him after the job is done. But they had to go to the federal auditors and ask them what the rules were. And says, no, I've got to cut all ties with them. I can't go back.
And that was a leap of faith.
That was a leap of faith. But it was a huge reward.
Yes, it was.
And that was in 2004 when it happened. Mm-hmm. And...
There's in the Bible it talks about where the children of Israel was going to cross the Jordan and they needed to step into the water before the waters parted. That was our step into the water, let me tell you, because when you know, Chris had a good job with KZ, and we had to give that up in order to go on with where God was leading us. And so that really was a step into the water. And those waters parted, not like the Jordan, but like the Red Sea. I mean, it was amazing.
And then that same year that we started our business, we became debt free.
And again, that was all part of learning how, I mean, we sought God in how to budget, how we needed to do our finances. And that was how God brought us to that point of being debt free. Pastor Janet talked about diligently seeking and seeking where your abilities are. And we really did that. And that's what led us into this and in turn led us to that point of being debt free. And I thought if you're wondering what it is you can do, where your gift is, ask God. He wants to tell you those things. He has, like Pastor Janet said, we all have gifts, we all have talents, we all have abilities. And if you're not sure where they're at, ask God. He'll reveal that to you.
Yeah. And James, it says, any man lack wisdom, ask that you should preach or freely give, and he really will. And, I mean, I was raised Amish with a ninth grade education. God is so awesome. It really is. You know,
that in alone is a real miracle. An Amish electrician? Yeah. Really? That's got to be God.
There's another huge miracle too. When I was 18 years old, when I joined the Navy, they give you a test to see where your best suited or best field is. Guess where it was? Electronics. Being Amish, electronics?
Didn't even have a light switch, you know?
You know, that's from God. That's nothing that we can claim on our own. In 2008, when the economy was down, we started a rental company, a rental management company. And he has blessed that so hugely. We presently have 13 rental homes, single-family homes. And it's, when things are down, God raises it up.
Amen.
Amen. And I'd like to just read a little bit from Luke 16, the New Living Translation. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater ones, greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about the worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches from heaven, which are more important?
Amen.
And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with the things of your own? And I was talking to leaders this morning, talking about that this morning, and with the rental houses that we have, just about every one of the homes that we have, the people that take care of their homes like they are their own, they will rent there for a while, but eventually they will always buy their own. Because that's how God blesses them.
Yeah.
It's amazing to think the principles of the godly principles work, whether you're righteous or not, but they will work.
But they were just so much better.
They're so much better.
Yeah,
I used to chase after money, but I tell you what. Chasing after God's own heart is so much more exciting.
Amen.
It is so fulfilling. It is just when you see God's hand working in people's lives, it is just so awesome. It's like I ran into a guy yesterday, and I told him I'm sharing here this morning. He says, "Pray a blessing over me tomorrow." I looked at him and says, "Why wait till tomorrow? Let's do it right now." And you know, I had asked him earlier, You know, where he was in salvation. He says, well, I know God. He says, yeah. The devil does too, and he shudders. But is he your Lord? He says, no, he's not. But he wasn't ready to give his heart to the Lord. But then yesterday he asked me to pray for him. Now that's exciting. That's exciting. That's, I think that's about all we have to show. I mean, we could go on and on and on all the things that God's done, but I want to thank you for the opportunity.
Amen.
Thank God.
Thank you.